now, actually, but we have a book that we've got to get through before we get to those holidays, and that book is really Deuteronomy, Devarim. We're starting the book today. There's a lot of great stuff in this book, so we want to catch it as we go through. So I want to just start off by reading the first verse of the first chapter of Devarim for us this morning. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazaroth, and Dizahab. So we open up the book, and just as we opened up the last several Torah portions, where is Israel? The children of Israel are encamped on the plains of Moab. They are about to go into the land of Israel. But before they do that, there's a few things that have to be said. There's a few experiences that have to be experienced. And they're at the threshold, though, of all the promises that God gave them hundreds and hundreds of years later. God led them through 40 years in a barren desert. Can you imagine that? They went through this desert for 40 years, the wilderness. He provided for them in the wilderness. You can't survive in the wilderness by yourself. He provided for them. He put up with them, right? We read about a lot of that. He didn't give up on them. And now a new generation is about to go in and see a hundreds of years old promise fulfilled. Can you imagine? You know, it's great when you're one of the pioneering generations of something and something's going on. But you know, it's something else when you're part of that generation that's actually going to experience the fruit of everything that had built up until then. And that's what that generation was about to receive. They were about to go into the land after all of that time. But before they could go into the land, a couple of things had to happen. Moses, their leader, the whole time had to die. Joshua, the new leader, had to take them in. He had to take over. And before that, Moses had to give this discourse, which is the book of Deuteronomy. He had to give his farewell address. And in many ways, Deuteronomy is that book. It's the book that reminds them of where they've been. It reminds them of what God has said all along, and it reminds them of where they're going. So this is a very important book. It's kind of like a recap book. You know, it's said that the laws are repeated. It's a repetition of the law. There's actually a lot of new laws that are added in Deuteronomy. And kind of the key here is the laws that are given in the book of Deuteronomy, just so we're aware, the ones that are emphasized are the ones that Israel is going to need when they go into the land. How are they going to live their life once they go in? So those are the kind of the focus of the laws. But here's the thing. All this time in the wilderness, it's been a journey for Israel. It's been a journey. From the moment they took that step of faith at Mount Sinai, right? Remember that moment, right? Talking about Exodus 19, right before Exodus 20, the giving of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 19, they said, all that the Lord commands, we will do. They stepped out in faith at Sinai, and they signed that covenant with God. And from that very moment, through the 40 years in the wilderness, the journey that they've been on has been filled with highs and lows, right? Ups and downs, victories and defeats, following God and running away from God in disbelief. We've seen experiences, both of those. Unfortunately, there was a lot of running from God in disbelief, wasn't there? But it molded and shaped Israel. All the highs and even all the lows molded and shaped Israel into the nation they needed to be so they could go in the land and possess it. Okay, it's very important that they had to go through those highs and lows. They had to go through that journey. And when you and I take that step of faith in Yeshua, when we say, we're going to go and follow you as Yeshua, we're going to take that step of faith for you. When we do that, when we give our hearts and minds and our lives to the Lord through Yeshua, we begin a journey, just like Israel. And just like Israel, guess what? There's going to be ups and downs to our journey. There's going to be victories and defeats. There's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be points where you are just flying high, where you're saying, man, everything is clicking with the Lord. Everything's going great. I'm seeing miracles happen in my life. I'm seeing people come to faith. I'm seeing families restored. I'm seeing things going forward with the Lord. And then there's going to be times in that journey. I'm telling you, there's going to be times in your journey, if you haven't been there already, where you're crying out to God. Where are you, Lord? You're on your knees. You're not feeling his presence. So there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows on our journey with the Lord. But Adonai was with Israel through the whole journey. And guess what? He's going to be with you and me through every point along the way. Whether it's a high point, you know, during the high points, we're like, oh, he's with me. I can feel his presence. And the low points, you're like, where is he? He is still with you in the low points. Amen? Let's get to the word. Deuteronomy 1, 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You know, many times when I give a message and I'm speaking from a certain text, right? It's a few verses, maybe it's a chapter, and it's like a verse by verse kind of thing. I just felt very impressed today to take a little bit of a different approach and really take the entire Torah portion as one big theme, one big summary, and it really is in many ways, and to take verses from these chapters, from this Torah portion, from this summary, and hit these highlights and low points for us so we can see the journey that Israel took, so we can see how we're going to take that journey. Deuteronomy 1, 6 and 7. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to the neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negev and by the seacoast, in the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. You know, we think Israel is this tiny little country, but if you've ever been to Israel, there's the desert. There's the coast. There's the highlands, you know, the mountain area in Jerusalem. There's, of course, the Golan Heights. There's all these places in Israel. And it's funny because you can drive to them in like half an hour. You can go from desert to the beach. You know, it's kind of weird. But that's Israel. There was all these places. There was all these places and there was all these enemies in these places. But God told them to go in all of those places and go to the land because you've stayed long enough at the mountain. You got to move. You got to get going. Of course, Horeb, the mountain, refers to Mount Sinai. Horeb and Sinai are interchangeable names. That's where God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. That's where they became a nation. That's where they signed the covenant, so to speak. And we've talked about a lot of this before. That's where the marriage contract happened. I mean, everything happens at Sinai. It was a place of wonder. It was a place of being filled with God. Filled with God. It was a place of just sitting and receiving, right? You ever had those times where you're just sitting and receiving from God? And it's just like the spout, you know, the spout where the glory pours out. And you're just like, ah, I need more of that. You're drinking from the fire hose. You're just enjoying it. And it's that wondrous time. But you know what? As wonderful it is, we can't stay there forever. Israel couldn't stay there forever. When we come to know God in a personal way, we just want to stay and bask in it, don't we, as new believers? Do you ever feel that, you know, that you get that feeling once in a while of what it was like as a brand new believer? You're in that honeymoon phase with the Lord. We enjoy it. We love every minute of it. But there comes a time we've got to move forward out of basking in all that goodness and move forward into the desert, into the wilderness. Start the journey. We have to start the journey as believers in Yeshua in the midst of a world that doesn't follow Yeshua. It's not going to be easy. Some people can't wait to leave Sinai. Maybe you're one of those people. I'm not. But you're one of those people where you're like, let me go out there, put me in, coach. I'm ready. I'm going to go fight some battles, slay some dragons in the Lord. You know, everything is going to go great, and you just can't wait to get out of the gate, right? Some of you are like that. Not me. I'm not like that. I want to stay there as long as I can. I want to enjoy it as much as I can. Because sometimes it can be a little scary to step out in faith, right? Be a little scary to leave the home, leave the nest, to move out when you don't know what awaits you, right? But there's scriptural precedent for people just stepping out in faith, and they didn't know where they were going. Turn with me to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. You know, we always got to look to the Word of God because the examples are there. We want to understand how to live, how to take that first step in our journey of faith. We got to look back to grandfather Abraham, right? Called Abram at the time, Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that's still happening today, right, with the Jewish people, with the land of Israel. Verse 4, here's the critical part. Verse 4, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. It's never too old for you. It's never too old for me to get started on that faith journey. We can say, well, you know, my best years are behind me. I might as well just kind of hang out at the mountain. You know, what good could I do? I'm so old. I'm so washed up. Abram could have said the same thing, but he went out in faith. He stepped out, not knowing where he was going. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Turn with me there. Hebrews 11 is that, 11 is that faith chapter. Abram was just a man. He wasn't anything special. He was just like you and me. He stepped out in faith, not knowing where he was going. He stepped out into a godless world. And that's the true essence of faith, isn't it? Believing without seeing. He did not know. God didn't give him like a little download. He didn't, you know, see the location on the phone about where to go. He just went. And God was going to direct him every step of the way. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place, out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he is going. You and I are stepping out in faith, not knowing where we're going on this faith journey. God's going to probably zigzag us through the wilderness. You're going to go over here and you're going to think, oh, that's the place I got to go spend a lot of time and minister and do all these things. And then God's, okay, pivot a little bit, go over here. I want you to do this. I want you to go do this. I want you to go do this. You don't know where you're going on your faith journey many times. That's the key. Abram was a model for us. Like Israel, like Abraham, point number one, we are called to step out in faith. Okay, it wouldn't be faith if we know where we were going, right? It's scary, but it's a step of faith. It's a leap of faith many times. You and I are taught to prepare ourselves when we go on a journey, right? We live here in Florida. If I told you, okay, we're going on a little journey, and it was wintertime, and we're going to Canada, wouldn't you pack a few things? And maybe you don't have a few things, so you got to go to the store and buy the coat and the scarf and the hat and the whatever, right? Thermal underwear, I don't know. It's cold up in Canada, right? You got to prepare. You got to get ready to go. Well, this is one of those things where when you're talking about faith, you're not supposed to pack. You're supposed to just go, okay? By the time you packed everything you needed on your faith journey, the train would already have left. You need to get moving. God's going to give you what you need on the way. He's going to make sure you have it. We can't be afraid of leaving the mountain, and we can't look back. Sometimes when we come to faith in Yeshua, we have to make choices, and they're hard choices when we leave that mountain. We may lose friends over the choice we make to follow God. You may lose family over the choice to follow God because they're not going to want to walk with you. Sometimes you feel like you're alone, don't you? You know, you feel like you're just walking that road alone sometimes. But we're never alone, of course. We're with the Lord. But spiritually speaking, we have to leave things behind. I'm not saying we just got to say goodbye to all of our family preemptively and go, you know, go follow God in some distant mountain in the Himalayas. I'm saying step out in faith spiritually. And if everybody's still with you, great. And if some of them leave you, great. You just got to move with God no matter who leaves you, who stays with you. This is the key point. This is the key priority. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. I think scriptures like this can be very scary when we just read them face value. And it's meant to be read at face value for sure. But we also have to understand the priorities that God, that Yeshua is showing us. This is Yeshua's words here. Matthew 19, 29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Here's the key. Yes, you may have had a cushy life. Yes, you may have had things that you love. And maybe sometimes when you come to faith, not all the time, God tells you, leave it behind. Go, move forward. We have to do that. The key of this verse is understanding priorities. God takes the priority over your kids, over your spouse, over your job, over even your life. Remember the three friends of Daniel that went into the fiery furnace? If God takes my life, fine. He's still God. If God spares us, fine. He's still God. They were willing to take a step of faith no matter what the consequences were. They didn't know what the consequences were going to be. They just took a step of faith. That's where faith comes in. True faith. We got to just step out. And I think Yeshua is telling us, prioritize me. Prioritize the Lord. The rest of it's going to fall the way it's going to fall. But you trust in me. The faith journey that we're on is the most important thing, going with the Lord. It's got to be our priority. We got to step out in faith. All right, back to Deuteronomy chapter 2. I want you to go to verse 31. We always remember the bad stuff that Israel experienced, right? When I say to you, what did they do for 40 years in the wilderness? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? It could be maybe the spies, the bad report of the spies, right? Maybe it's Korach. When the ground opened up, right? That was a pretty intense sight, right? Maybe it's the golden calf, Exodus 32. Pretty bad, right? So our minds always kind of go to the bad stuff in a sense. But there was good stuff that happened too. There was times when Israel was totally in sync with God. They were totally moving with the Spirit of the Lord. They were moving with the rock, which of course we know the rock is Messiah Yeshua. They were moving with the cloud and with the fire. And of course the Lord and the tabernacle. Deuteronomy 2, 31 and 33. Here's one of those times, 31 through 33. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you, to Israel. Begin to take possession that you may occupy his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Jahaz. And the Lord our God gave him over to us, and we defeated him and his sons and all his people. I thought it was interesting that this and another battle are mentioned in the first three chapters of Deuteronomy as Moses is relaying what's gone on for the 40 years. He doesn't just directly go to the low points and see, Israel, you screwed up here. Israel, you screwed up here. Remember this. Remember this. What he's saying is, remember, there were good times too. There were times when everything was flowing, when everything was going great. The victory at Sihon was a major triumph for Israel. So much so that it's included in these three small chapters here in the recap. When Israel began their journey, just like any journey, there was high points. There was times where they were with the Lord, times when everything was clicking. And that's point number two in our message today. In our faith journey, there will be victories. Don't just think of all the bad stuff. Don't just get down about all the bad things you did or people did things to you. Remember, in our journey, there's going to be high points. There's going to be victories where we're in sync with God, where things are firing on all cylinders, where things are happening in our lives. We tend to forget that when the bad stuff happens. But there's going to be good times. Victories can come in the form of miracles. You know, Israel had manna dropped from the sky miraculously. Quail dropped from the sky. Water gushing out from a rock. I have really never seen that before, right? Water just pouring out from the rock so they can drink it. Clothes and shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years. Can you imagine that? In our spiritual lives, there are going to be victories. Spiritual victories like that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 to 58. 1 Corinthians 15. We got to remember, we got to take heart, and we have got to hold on to those points, those victories, because that's the encouragement in our lives. But thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. When the bad things are happening in our lives, we've got to remember verses like this, where we have victory in Messiah Yeshua. And therefore, verse 58, be steadfast. It's hard to be steadfast in the times where everything's just falling apart around us, right, spiritually? Be immovable. It's hard to do that when people are abandoning you, when people are mocking you for your faith. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord, and catch this, because your labor is not in vain. Every little thing you do in Yeshua, in the Lord, means something, and it's not going to just drop and not have any meaning. It has meaning. You may not be able to see it. Those seeds that you're planting for friends and family, those things that you're doing in your life where nobody can see it, You're doing it in the name of Yeshua, and God is remembering every one of them, those things, and their victories. You've got to cling to those things. We can get depressed, though, sometimes, because sometimes it feels like nothing's going right. But the reality is prayers are getting answered, whether you see it or not. Victories are happening, whether we can feel it or not. And God is right there. People are coming to faith. You may not be the one to reap it. You may be just the sower. You know, sometimes it stinks to be the sower, right? You're just sowing the seeds and somebody else comes behind and gets that glory. Wrong way to look at it. You're sowing the seeds so that he can get the glory. And you're not going to see it, but he's going to see it. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. There's a passage in the Torah portion where Moses goes to the spies' account. He's got to, you know, he brings it up. He's got to talk about it. The spies, they're appointed to go into the land and to check it out. They want to see what's in the land, right? Moses, God relents, you know, go check it out. This seems to be a good thing. And they want to go and see what awaits them, right? So they send these spies out. These spies come back. And here's what the people say. Deuteronomy 1:28. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt. The report from the spies that was not so good. Our brothers, the spies, have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Ooh. Now, the spies saw a land flowing with milk and honey. They saw a good land. They brought back the grapes, right? They saw the fruit spiritually and physically. But you know what else they saw flowing in the land? Enemies. They saw enemies flowing in the land. The spies weren't just making it up. They were really there. On our journey, we're going to have obstacles, right? You're going to see a land flowing with milk and honey before you as far as what God gives you to do, the things of the work of your hands. But you're also going to see your enemies flowing too. You're going to see those fortified mountains. You're going to see those principalities and powers seemingly controlling everything and taking things over, and all hope is lost, just like Israel experienced. But it's not. We have to understand that every character in the Bible, from Yeshua to Abraham to David to Daniel, every character had adversity, every person. They all had problems. Some problems were ones that they caused, let's be honest, and some problems, in spite of how good they were, problems happened, right? Point number three, there will be trials on your journey. You can bet, you can count on it. Don't be like freaked out and like, what, when something happens, because you know there will be trials. There will be trials, right? We always say that, don't we? What? I can't believe that. Question is, how are we going to handle it when it happens? When it happens, not if, when it happens. Are we going to try to control things? You know how some of us try to just control everything when bad things happen. I'm just going to connect, take what's mine and just, you know, bad world out there, I got to control everything. Are we going to try to run from it, go in the other direction? Are we going to try to deny that it's happening? We do all these things. We think when good happens to us, it's because we're so good for God. And when bad happens to us, it's because we messed up somehow, right? It's not that simple. We like to think it's that simple, but it's not that simple. The journey we are on will have many low points where we are truly in a valley, and it may be no doing of your own. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Key scripture, many of you know it, James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when, doesn't say if there, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now that is a very pesky scripture, isn't it? Count it all joy when you face trials. We act surprised when we have trials, but we're supposed to do the opposite. We're supposed to count it all joy. Yeshua was telling his disciples, turn to John chapter 16, verse 33. I've quoted this a few times. Yeshua was telling his disciples, and he's telling us today, that in this journey of faith, there's going to be trials. But here's what he said. John 16, 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Here's the mix-up we get. Even as believers, it's easy. We tend to think we should have peace in the world. We're going to have trials in the world. I'm not saying it's going to be terribly bad all the time, but there's going to be times of highs and times of lows. That's what Yeshua is saying. You're going to have tribulation and trials in the world, but in me you will have peace. We're looking for peace in all the wrong places, aren't we, sometimes? You got to look for peace with Yeshua and know that there's going to be trials in the world. Okay, back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7 now. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He's talking to Israel the last 40 years. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. It's a great scripture. Moses is reminding the people it's been 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years of wandering, but all of that time, God was present. No matter if it was a high or a low, God was present. God was working. God was providing for Israel. They could not have survived without him. You can't survive a few days in the desert without food and water. Supernaturally, they got that food and water. God was even with them with his presence. He didn't just drop supplies out of the plane for them, so to speak. He was down with them as they were walking through. They could not have survived without him. And at the end of Moses' life, turn now to Deuteronomy 31, chapter 31, verse 8. Now we're going to go to the end of the book, right at the end of the discourse before they go into the land. At the end of Moses' life, right before Israel goes into the land, this is what Moses says. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. He says, I'm with you. I have been with you throughout the 4 years. I will be with you when you go into the land. Guess what? He's with us always in every single situation. These are Adonai's words to Israel and his words for us today. Point number four, last point. God will always be with you. We sang about it today. Always. He is always with us. The God of Jacob is with us as things are falling apart and crumbling in the world. God is with us. Psalm 27, verse 10. This is another very harsh, key, in-your-face scripture. Psalm 27, 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Now, I like that verse because if you think about the relationships in your life, when you're young, not when you get married, because when you get married, your primary relationship is your spouse, of course. But when you're young, what is the most important, most trusted, most worthwhile, most fulfilling, most all-encompassing relationship you'll ever have? It's with your parents, right? From the time you're born, they're sustaining you. You would die if your parents didn't take care of you as a little baby, right? They're feeding you, they're clothing you, they're giving you all this direction in your life. The most important relationship is your father and your mother. And listen to what the scripture says. If even they forsake you, the Lord will take me in. The Lord will take you in. That's how deep and how personal the relationship with God can be if we allow the Lord in. It's even deeper and greater than the love of a mother and father with a child. It's even more rich than that. No matter what happens on our journey, good or bad, victory or defeat, God will always be with you through everything. That should give us comfort. That should comfort you and I today. Because I don't know, maybe you've had a situation where you've been abandoned by friends because of your faith or the stand you're taking for God in many ways. Maybe you've even been abandoned or treated harshly by family members. But take heart and look at that scripture. Whenever you're feeling this way, no matter if family, friends, anybody deserts you, God is with you. Amen and amen. So as a believer in God, as a follower of Yeshua, you and I have got to step out in faith. Some of you are sitting at Mount Sinai. Some of you are way back and saying, should I go up to the mountain, right? Some of you are at that point in your journey. You're debating whether to go up to the mountain. Some of you are at the mountain debating whether to leave the mountain. Some of you are on your journey, right? Wherever we are, we've got to step out in faith. Judaism, belief in Yeshua, all of it is about faith. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's a faith book from start to finish, and it's a faith walk from start to finish. God was with Israel and it was all about faith. God is with us and it's all about faith. We have to step out in faith. We have to leave the mountain and step out into the unknown. In that unknown, you're going to have the victories. Maybe you're in a time of victory and things are going great. God bless you. Bless your heart, as we say in the South. If you're going through a time that's not so great, this message is for you to encourage you that God is with you in the fire, that God is with you in the adversity, that God is with you though your mother and father forsake you. He is always with us. It's going to happen on the journey, the ups and downs. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 12, last scripture of the day. We need to think of our journey as a race, okay? It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? You got that, the whole tortoise and the hare. We all know that story. We want to be going along, right, as the tortoise, not as the hare. And that race is a long race. It's going to take your entire spiritual life. When someone runs a race, thinking about a marathon, there's points when they're just like charged up, right? Oh, I cannot wait. I just jumping. I got to go. And there are times when these professional runners, when these professional marathoners don't have any more juice, you know, any more fuel in the tank. And they somehow just continue to push forward until they cross the threshold, right? Until they cross the finish line. There are points you're going to feel like everything's going great in your walk. And there are points where you have nothing left to give. But we need to press on. We need to complete the race. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. The promise is there. You got to step out in faith. You got to move through the highs and the lows. You got to move through the mountaintops and the valleys to get to the end of that race. And remember, God is with you throughout the entire journey. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you because you show us examples in the Word. You don't leave us wondering how you are. You don't leave us wondering how to run the race. You don't leave us wondering what's going to happen because you know what's going to happen. You're with us throughout. You're with us when we have those wonderful high points. And I love those high points, Lord. But you're with us also in the valleys and the extreme low points where it feels like we are all alone. Lord, there are times when I know everyone here has felt all alone, but we're not all alone because you're with us. Though my mother and father forsake me, you will stick with me. And Lord, as we're going through that valley of the shadow of death, even today, with how dark the world is, we know that the light inside of us shines brightly, and that's the light of Yeshua. So I just encourage, Lord, I want to encourage everybody here. And I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to everybody here, everybody watching on the live stream, that if they have not received that light of Yeshua, if they have not received that revelation at Sinai, spiritually speaking, that they would do so now, that they would renounce their sins and choose you and follow after you and surrender to you and say all that the Lord says we will do, I will do. Lord, and it's a step of faith, but we pray that they take it, Lord. And also, be with each and every one of us on the journey. Some of us are at different places in our journey. Some of us are well along on the way. Some of us are stumbling right out of the gate. But Lord, I pray wherever people are right now that you would encourage them, that you would give them your love, that you would show them your promises for them, and relate it back. Help us to relate it back to your word. As we read your word, help us to know we can apply that to our lives today. We thank you, God. We praise you because you are with us. The God of Jacob is with us. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together as we close the service today. We're going to close with a blessing. May you be blessed this week. May you be encouraged in the Lord this week. May you be charged up to move forward in that faith journey. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you.